adversity, opposition, and persecution this morning. So are you still excited this morning? Yeah. All right, excellent. Before we dig into that, though, let's just kind of look at what we've covered so far. Over the last 9 weeks, we have been covering the life and missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. All right, we've seen a pretty remarkable transformation from the Saul, whose goal started out to be to totally destroy the followers of Jesus. And now we have Paul, who is turning into one of the most instrumental pieces, instrumental contributors into the Christian faith. So as we've seen this build up to this launch of Paul's journey, and as Pastor Josh shared with us last week, that key beginning where Paul preaches in Antioch of Pisidia, we also realize, though, that it wasn't all smooth sailing. Because eventually, Paul and Barnabas, what happens to them? They get kicked out. They get driven out of the city. And I think over the course of this last 9 weeks, you're probably seeing that Saul has experienced quite a lot of adversity since his first encounter with Jesus. Can we agree on that? All right. So, I do want you to really consider, when we deal with adversity, when we're faced with opposition or even direct persecution from others, ultimately, most of us have realized that we have very little control over what happens to us, right? But there's something that we can control. We can control how we respond or react to that adversity. So this morning, I want to ask you a question. I'm going to give you a few minutes at your table to talk about this, because I just want you to evaluate how you've handled adversity or opposition in the past. So when faced with persecution or adversity, how well have you responded to it? So I'll give you a few minutes, talk around your table. There may be situations where someone's come at you hard. Someone has really put a heavy load of pressure on you. Sometimes we don't react well. Sometimes we fire back. We get defensive. And we let our anger get the best of us. Sometimes maybe you've done a good job at speaking the truth in love and dealing with people in an appropriate manner. So around your tables, just talk about some of those experiences. I'm sure there's a number of you out there that have probably even introduced someone to a knuckle sandwich at some point. All right? So talk a little bit amongst yourselves. Hey, how well have I responded to adversity? So, wrapping our discussion up, when talking about some of these subjects, it can get pretty dark. Let's be honest. I know there's quite a few people right here in this room dealing with some pretty stinky stuff. But what I want you to see this morning, I want to, even as we saw in the passage at the very beginning in Romans, kind of encouragement and how endurance can help us. We're going to look at how Paul responded to adversity. We'll be dealing with the first 7 verses today in chapter 14 of Acts. So I'm going to give you a moment to flip over to chapter 14 of Acts. we'll be dealing with the first seven verses. And what we're going to do is actually hear this seven verses read to us. So here we go. All right. So, as they come in to the city of Iconium, Iconium was largely more Greek than Roman. But still in Iconium, we see this melting pot of cultures. Give you a little understanding of what Paul and Barnabas are up against. Now, the city was around 80 miles southeast of Antioch of Pisidia, where Paul and Barnabas had just been kicked out of. So, adversity, we see right out of the gate, because they're moving on from a place where people said, "We don't want you here." But Paul and Barnabas give us some real simple things that we can do to help us on our journey when we face persecution, when we face opposition. One of the first things you'll see is right in verse 1. It's really simple. Verse 1, it says, "At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas." Paul and Barnabas. After they get kicked out of Antioch of Pisidia, how many of you think you would have been tempted to say, "This ain't working. This is not going the way that I had planned"? How many of you would have said, "I've had enough"? Would have thrown in the towel and given up. But right here, at Iconium, Paul and Barnabas. What I want you to understand about these two men is they practice companionship with fellow believers. At a point where they had the opportunity to cash it in, check out, they continued, it says, "went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed." The support system. And I'm sure all of us can agree that sometimes when we're faced with a heavy task, hey, maybe you're just putting new shingles on your roof. Doesn't it help a lot when you have somebody there alongside you helping you to get the job done? It's common sense, right? So this journey that we're taking was not meant to be taken alone. We need to take advantage of the support system that God has placed in our lives. You should be able to look around this room and see that support system. Fellow believers that can come alongside and help you. Now, it's one thing for us to look at an example in the Bible and see how Paul and Barnabas did this, but I want to give you a little bit more encouragement than that. First, let's look at Proverbs 27, verse 17. It says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." Many of you are probably familiar with that verse. Again, something we understand already. Having that help come alongside you to challenge you, to keep you accountable. I challenge you to see what God can do when you come alongside, encourage, and support one another for the work of the ministry. Now, I'm going to give you some examples that happen right here in Grace Church. So it's nice to see when people you know are doing this. So the opportunities that you get to talk at these tables are so important. I had the opportunity several weeks ago, during one of those moments that we get to share with each other, someone had the courage to say that they were really struggling with a toxic relationship with someone at work. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been moments in my lifetime where a toxic relationship at work can make me want to quit. I want to get away. I want to escape. I want to be done with it. I don't want to deal with it anymore. But in that time of discussion, we got to encourage this person and help them to the point where they're like, you know, I think I need to go talk to this person. Speak the truth in love and help them understand that we need to treat each other better. And the person felt great coming out of the service, so I continued to pray for that person. And it's great when you hear the results of what God can do. So a couple of weeks later, this person comes back to church, taps me on the shoulder, and says, I just had to let you know. I had that discussion with that person, and it went great. We actually have a functional, working relationship now. Now, my prayer doesn't stop there, because my hope is that with that functional relationship, that person gets to do what? Share Jesus with that person. So right here, in Grace Church, we're seeing what Paul and Barnabas displayed for us, done amongst your own church family. I'll give you another example. How many of you have experienced strained relationships with family? Yes. Yes. Sometimes to the point where you don't talk to them for years. You don't want to have anything to do with them. But I had the opportunity to encourage someone. You need to try and repair that relationship. Sometimes family can do things that hurt you and scar you. So over time, and it did take some time, because one thing, knowing what we should do and actually doing it are two different things. So over the course of multiple opportunities of meeting with this person, I mentor this person, Mr. Mike Webb. Love you, brother. He got the opportunity to sit down with his family. And that can be a scary thing, especially when they have been on you, and sometimes on you hard. And there's a fear that comes along with that, because you're thinking to yourself, if I do this, that relationship could be over, could be done. Thankfully, when we step out of our comfort zone in faith and do what God has asked us to do, you'd be amazed at some of the results that can happen. Now, don't get me wrong, the relationship is not perfect, but it's better than it was. And Mike had done what God had asked him to do. And sometimes that's all that you can do. All right? So right here, it's happening. Happening here at Grace. Now, it's really great that you have other people in your lives that can come alongside you and help you. But let's look at verse 2 and 3. It says in verse 2, but the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the other Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. So we see in verse 2, bam, we've got more opposition. It's getting tougher. It's getting harder. in addition to the church family that you have, sometimes, how many of you watch superhero movies? Do you like DC, Marvel? All right, I see a few hands. Some of you that are confident enough to admit that you actually watch that stuff. Sometimes you just feel like you need a superhero to come save you, right? Someone with a superpower who's going to come into the situation that you're in and bail you out. Well, I got good news. We have the ultimate superhero. Stack God up against any one of those Marvel or DC people. Who do you think is going to win? Now, I'm not saying that God comes into every situation and just blows away the opposition and everything is good in the world. But a support system amongst your church family is only stronger when it is centered on the one thing that can sustain us. In the face of opposition, we can have confidence that the Lord is with us every step of the way. And we see that because of their faithfulness in their Father in heaven, God delivers. He validates Paul and Barnabas to the people. He says, hey, these are my ambassadors. And the Lord tells us in His Word, all over, that He is there to support us. Most of you know Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, where it says, be strong and courageous. So here's the point I want you to understand. Take courage because God is with us. Even in those deep valleys where depression is gnawing and eating at you, take courage because He is with us. Verse 6 goes on to say, do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. And He will what? Never leave you or forsake you. Now there are moments in those times of struggles where you're like, where is God? Well, I can guarantee you He's right there. Sometimes we just don't see it. Or we choose to focus so deeply on our problem that we forget that He's in control. And there may be something that we need to learn through that. Let's look at Matthew 28. In Matthew 28, verse 20, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Never will He leave us or forsake us, and He is with us always. Now, don't get me wrong. I am human. I am not perfect. There are moments where I still struggle with that in my head. I'm like, man, I'm failing to see where you're at here, God. I really am. Another example that I want to give you right here in Grace Church. It's not the deepest, darkest example, but it's valuable. Was our church to bring in another staff, or our search to bring in another staff pastor. Now, the more that you guys hear the story of how this happened, you'll be able to see God's hands all over it. You want to know how involved God was in this process? Josh has some amazing things to share with you. You've heard some of it already. But that process was grueling. Nick, were there moments when you're like, man, this is not going well? Absolutely. But because your staff that you have here at Grace understands God is with us throughout the entire process, there's lessons that we learned from it. And guess what? When you see His hand in those moments and how all of the pieces fit together to bring Josh to us, all I got to say is amen. We stay the course because we know that even in the moments when I don't exactly see what it is that God is doing at the time, that it is good. And it's not easy to always see those moments as good. But if you look back, if I look back at the whole process now, and I ask myself all of those challenges, the frustration, I'm like, man, that was good. It is our responsibility. It is our responsibility to do what God has asked us to do, knowing that He is in control. We don't have to fear because He is with us. We remain faithful because He is faithful. Something else that we see from Paul and Barnabas in these seven verses. Ultimately, there are going to be times when we have to move on. The point is, there comes a time to continue on. In verse 4, it says, "The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among both Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them." We're not talking about just getting kicked out of the city. We're talking about death. So they're up against it. But, thank God, but they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country, where they did what? They continued to preach the gospel. Now, we already established that some of you probably would have given up getting kicked out of Antioch of Pisidia. How many of you would have really, really said no more? I could have died. But we see Paul and Barnabas continued on to the surrounding areas and preached the gospel. Now I want to look a little bit deeper. I know that Pastor Josh indicated that it's okay when you have to move on sometimes in those moments. But I want to look at why. What's the motivation behind that? And I think that most of you have probably come to the point in certain relationships or dealing with certain people that you understand when it is apparent that that person is not ready or willing to receive the good news. We can be bold, we can stand firm, we can give our best and do everything that God has asked us to do, but there are still people that will reject the gospel. How many of you understand that this morning? There are people that still want to stay their own God of their own life. We have to ask ourselves in those situations, are we really being a good steward of the time and resources that God has blessed us with if we continue to invest heavily in someone whose heart is not open? Now, I'm not saying you have to stop loving that person, because we're supposed to love everyone. Now, I'm not saying that you have to abolish them from your life, but maybe there is someone out there that will hear and that will listen. And that's what Paul and Barnabas did. Let's take a look at a verse in Matthew 10, verse 23. "When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another." Jesus tells them, flee to another. Truly I tell you, he says, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. So we see Paul and Barnabas, not Paul, Paul and Barnabas doing exactly what Jesus had instructed. Moving on because they know that there are what? There are others that need Jesus. There are others that are open, that are willing to listen, willing to hear, and will accept. And it's difficult because as badly as we want some of those people who may be your family, who may be your friends, people that I have talked to, again, right here in this church, that have looked me in the face and said, nah, I'm not ready. I don't need Jesus right now. And that hurts. Because you care. But there are those that still need you. And who knows? Maybe that person that has rejected, that seed that you've planted, will turn into something later when their heart is ready. But see, you've done what God has asked you to do. Persecution, opposition, the adversity that we face. Paul and Barnabas have given us three things on how we can respond to that adversity that comes at us. Persecution hurts, and adversity can tempt us to quit. It can tempt us to give up. But I want to challenge you because sometimes that adversity is a very important tool that God has allowed in our life to prepare us for something more. Prepare us for that next interaction, that next opportunity, that next person that He places in your life. I want to share something with you. Because recently in one of my discussions with someone, one of the questions that came up is, who are you looking forward to seeing in heaven? And me, I'm like thinking, oh, you know what would be really cool? I can't wait to see the Apostle Paul. So I'm thinking of who? Myself, I want to see Paul in my young Christian life. That was one of the first thoughts that came to my mind. But years later, in this discussion with this person, that question comes up in our mentoring material. And I shared with them, my perspective on who do I want to see in heaven has totally changed. Totally changed. So we're sitting in R&Ds, and I'm like, you know who I want to see in heaven? I want to see that person. I want to see that person. And I want to see that person. And I don't even know them. When your heart comes to the point where you don't want to see people suffer being separated from God for eternity, your perspective totally changes. So when we see Paul and Barnabas excited, motivated, passionate about moving on to that next town, that next city, that next person, to try and find someone who's going to listen. Because I don't know about you guys, but we've seen a number of people get saved recently, correct? Now I have to control myself because when I hear that news, when I see Alex or Adam get saved, I want to give you my best Ric Flair impression. Most of you don't even know who Ric Flair is. I'll cover up the mic. Oh, maybe that's not working. But I just want to give you my best. Woo! And if you don't know Ric Flair, hit YouTube. Find out some clips about Ric Flair. The man was passionate. I get excited when someone gets saved. And that excitement passes on to the next day and the next day and the next day because I can't wait to hear about the next person. I can't wait for the next opportunity to share Jesus with someone. And that's how I want to encourage you this morning. That even through the stink, even through the grime, even through the nastiness that we experience in life, there are amazing things that come from that preparation. Now I'm going to take you to a verse, a passage in James chapter 1 that most of you probably did not respond well to the first time that you read it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, we're going to get right into it. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, the first time I heard this, I thought the person reading it to me was cuckoo. Because in verse 2 it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Say what? You want me to find joy when my family is pooping on my family? You want me to find joy when I've lost my job? You want me to find joy when someone calls me a Bible thumper? When someone threatens my family? You want me to find joy in that? That was my initial reaction the very first time I ever heard that verse. But let's continue on. Verse 3 says, "Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Now still, even after reading the next two verses, I wasn't totally on board with this. Until I started to understand that, you know what? We practice those kinds of things in our everyday life. How many of you have been following Josh and Amy Sensiba's journey to get healthy? Anybody? Seen the stuff on Facebook? I am so happy for them. All right. It's a lot of hard work that goes into getting healthy. And seeing the look on their faces occasionally after a workout or being diligent in their diet, all of those challenges that come along with it, it's not easy. It's not fun. But in those situations that we do in everyday life, the choice to get healthy, we practice what we've seen here. We're doing these things. They're doing it together. You come alongside someone. Doesn't an exercise program usually work better when you have someone to do it with? Absolutely. And sometimes you need a little more help to keep you going. Because often we do want to quit. Everyday life. Take your job. How many times do we go through and fight like cats and dogs to move up and improve our position in our career, right? We do it in worldly situations. Why should it be any different in our spiritual life and our spiritual journey? Why should we expect everything to be smooth sailing? So I want to really challenge you that when faced with struggle, that you tap into what God's given you. In the age that we live in, with social media and everything else, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that it's all bad, because the ability to connect with people around the world, oh, we just saw it today. That's pretty cool. Wouldn't you agree? But sometimes we've lost the ability to nurture and maintain strong relationships with people. So I really want you to dig in. Dig into getting to know your church family. Dig into getting to know the people that you come here on Sunday every week and see here. It's so important because you don't know who that next person is that's going to be the one to come alongside you and help you through that valley. And it's no coincidence that we had a series before Paul's Odyssey that was entitled what? Friends for the Journey. That's not coincidence, people. It's meant to set you up for success. So I just want to challenge you. Continue to get to know the people that you share this room with, that you work in the clubhouse with, all of the different opportunities you have to get to know each other. And most importantly, regularly talk to God. He wants to hear from you. He wants to be there for you when you're going through those valleys. Our habit is to only call on God when we need something. But I can vouch for the fact that when you go to God and say, "Thank you, Lord, for Alex's salvation. Thank you, Lord, for Adam's salvation." And you dig in and you start to get to know the people in your church and talking to God regularly. And it's amazing how things just start to fall into place. The pain doesn't hurt as bad. The struggle doesn't take the kind of toll that it has in the past. So take Paul and Barnabas's example. I boiled it down to this, the title of the sermon. And I pray that each one of you is ready to take this on, is to do it anyway. In the face of opposition, persecution, whatever adversity is that we're going through, do it anyway. Because we do it in our regular day lives. I'll just give you a couple of examples. Potty training your kids. Eventually there comes a point where they have to wipe their own bottom. And how many times do we go beyond that stage where they should be doing it themselves and they say, "Mom, Dad, I need my bottom wiped." And sometimes our response is, "Do it yourself." "But I don't want to." "Do it anyway." When you tell them to clean their room, the response is, "I don't want to. It's my room. I should be able to have it the way I want it to be." You tell them, "Do it anyway." So when we get knocked down, when our back is against the wall, my hope is that you will follow what we've learned today. I hope you feel a little more encouraged about some of the stinky stuff that you may be facing, because the results are totally worth it. When we get to celebrate people coming to salvation, and also we're going to take a look at one more verse in James chapter 1, verse 12. Keep this in mind. "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." Do you love the Lord this morning? I want to pray for you, because it's not an easy subject. Some of us are going to walk out these doors in a semi-truck type circumstance may just come up against you and you feel like you've got no place to go. Well, I'm here to tell you, you do. We see Paul and Barnabas do it. We see your church family doing it. And we're here to help you. So if anybody is going through struggle and you need help, don't be afraid to reach out. I would love to talk to you. I would absolutely love to talk to you. Let me pray for you. God, you are so good. Even when we don't see it, you are there. Lord, please help us to remember the amazing blessings that you've placed in our life, this church family, the loving Father in heaven that you are to us. Sometimes we forget. We get so busy in our lives, wrapped up in our own circumstance, that we forget. Just know that we love you today. God, please continue to use Grace Church in this community, in the surrounding communities, in association with those across the globe, our missionaries, that are reaching the entire world. God, we thank you for them. We are so grateful this morning for who you are and all that you've done for us. We love you today. Amen.
All right.